All right, David Holt, Mr. Lightning Bolt himself, live and in person here on the Flexigrass stage. You know, I have a band that's called Flexigrass. I'm not doing this to show off my gut. I'm doing this to show off my T-shirt. And that's the same band that used to have the name Pete Wernick's Live 5, and Live 5 just didn't say enough. There were five of us, and we were alive, but then there turned out to be six of us, and it just seemed like a good time to change the name. So we are now Pete Wernick and Flexigrass. We have an album coming out soon. Watch for that on flexigrass.com or my website, drbanjo.com. But Flexigrass is a broad term, and I've been doing Flexigrass since I was a youth, actually playing with odd combinations of instruments and seeing what might work. And what odder bunch of people to do this with. My friends, the Waybacks, all the way out from that wild and crazy state, California. Where they try something, you know, they try something different every year. Like they tried that guy for governor.
Oh, who is that guy? Oh, the governor.
Yeah. It's great. They're so experimental out there. They'll try anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reagan.
All those guys, those, you know, California governor type guys. Anyway, that wonderful job singing on that there. James, would you have one that you'd like to contribute here to the
sure,
mix?
Sure. You want to try?
Can't you hear me calling? That's a, you know, Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass, had a lot of rules. And that's a good thing, really, because bluegrass is, in his absence, 10 years later, is in danger of losing its identity. There's a lot of things being called bluegrass now that Bill Monroe really wouldn't think of as bluegrass, and he's the guy who thought of it in the first place, so he should have some say. But he changed over the years. At first, when I was 20 and I had him on my radio show, I said, well, you know, it's important to keep bluegrass a certain way, isn't it? And he said, oh, yes. And he said, I said, is there anything that shouldn't be in bluegrass? And he says, you don't need a drum in bluegrass. He said, you don't need no hot guitar. And he said, you don't need no dobro. But later he recorded with Barbara Mandrell on dobro, so he relaxed his policy, got kind of relaxed.
But wait a minute. Didn't he have Doc Watson in his band, too? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Hot
and
guitar.
Then he played with Doc Watson. And
that's a lot of talk.
And actually, that's what I'll tell him if I see him.
Hopefully not too soon.
No, hopefully not too soon. But, you know, Bill did experiment along the way. He did try an organ in the band for a little while on some recordings and an electric guitar. And early in the days of the Bluegrass Boys, he actually had a jug in the band.
I
said to him in this interview, I said, now, anything you did in the Bluegrass Boys, that would be a definition of bluegrass. And he said, that's right. And I said, well, then what about a jug? Is it all right for a band to be a bluegrass band and have a jug? And he said, if it don't override the mandolin. So he was Flexigrass at heart anyway, without necessarily knowing it. Yeah. Anyway, this is one of his main songs. It's the title cut of his biography book that somebody wrote called Can't You Hear Me Calling? James is going to sing it for us.
All right.
And I'm going to get right in tune for you. Yeah.
I'm not even sure we're going to play this bluegrass. There you go. And my best advice for listening to us today is to try to appreciate the jam factor of it and notice how if we're doing things right, we're playing less on the first half of the song than the second half, because on the first half we don't all really know what we're doing. And it's worked so far, you know. But that's the best advice to jamming is play once you've figured out what's going on.
Okay, you want to kick it off?
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Oh, that means I have to start it?
Yeah.